Mark 8:14, you there? Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread." Speculative imagination. Right? Okay. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread?" Hi, Larry. How you doing, my friend? Good. I love you. "Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of fragments did you take up?" They said 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets of fragments did you take up?" They said 7. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" Interesting, right? So did you see that they were, quote, reasoning? They're reasoning here. Now, he says, "Do you have the eyes? Do you see that they had eyes to see, they had ears to hear, but they still weren't getting it because they were reasoning." So they're working on another level, a different level, right? We're still in that same frame of the realm, church, that we're talking about. The realm of the kingdom of God. So they reasoned. And when you reason, you're carnally minded. It's not wrong to have reason. Don't misunderstand that. They're good. You use that tool for good things, but then there's God things. And so you want to make sure that you have that in order in your life. They totally didn't even get it because they were just off on another plane, you know. "Oh, he must mean we don't have enough bread." They were just dropping right back down into the world realm. Amen. He must just be talking about that we don't have any bread. And then he's telling them, so beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. What's he talking about? Both wanted signs. Herod wanted a sign. You remember, you're scriptorians, you know. He wanted a sign. And the Pharisees always wanted a sign. You know, sometimes people want a sign. "Man, Lord, just give me a sign. Let my dog walk up to me and start howling a tune. Maybe an old Hank Williams number. Wonder if he does that, I'll know." Right? I mean, we're laughing, but just look straight ahead, right? So the leaven of the Pharisees would affect and infect whatever it got into. Okay? That's good right there. It's a good point. So he's warning them to beware that you don't let this kind of stuff infect you, that you don't just stay on the level of the natural, because you're a supernatural person. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all, the PK's here. Jesse, so here she is. Praise the Lord. Love you, Jess. Glad you're here. The boys are in the back having fun. Glory to God. All three, the grand boys are here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, so he's asking them, he's saying, "Don't you perceive yet? Don't you understand this?" And I want to make this statement to you, church. A small element of perception can make the difference between success and failure. It's how you perceive something. It's how you look at something. That's gonna make all the difference in the world for you. And it may not be the reality that you're looking for. Amen. So perception is very important. If you can't see it, you can't be it. Right? So to have any kind of success, to see the dream that God put on the inside of you come to pass, you're going to have to calibrate for success. You're going to have to calibrate for it. To calibrate is to adjust or tune the accuracy of the measuring instrument or the process. You tune it. Guys know about tuning cars, or we used to do that. I don't know what they do anymore. And then some people know how to tune guitars. You have to do that for an extra, for the right thing, not extra, the right thing to come out of that. So in this case, we're calibrating, our tuning our perception. Okay, so perception, insight is particularly important. Okay? So when there is just a small element of perception off the truth, life can end up in a totally different place. So if you were driving to church here today, and we're neighbors, so we come from the east. Well, in fact, lots of people here come from 1431. And I'm looking around. Yeah, we're all coming from the east. Glory to God. And so when you got to HEB, if they said turn at the light, if you turned right, you would end up at church. You would end up at the Methodist church. Pastor Ellen's up there. You'd end up there with her. She's a sweet lady. But you'd be at the wrong church if you were headed here. You would have to know to turn left. So your perception can be totally off. You could end up turning in the wrong direction if you don't have the right perception. I think I'm writing a song right there, huh? Praise the Lord. So we need to have the right perception. Now, the Clampets. Click. The Clampets. Click. They're coming. Where's the Clampets? They're coming. All right. They're coming. You know, Jed. Yeah. Granny. Who? Ellie Mae. And Jethro. Okay. So the Clampets, I had a picture, but it must be out in the other realm right now. Okay. So they moved to Beverly Hills because they discovered what? Oil. Anybody remember? This is important history. Anybody remember how much Jed was worth? $25 million. Okay. So, Mr. Drysdale, he's the banker, and he had Jane. So, Mr. Drysdale tells Jed, he says, Jed, you got a lot of money. Won't you invest in some stock? And so Jed talked to Granny, said, you know, Mr. Drysdale said we need to put some of our money in stock. Granny agreed. And so they commenced to go get their stock. And so they were picking out. They said, well, Jethro and Ellie Mae had to go do something. They said, we're going to pick out our stock. There they are. First thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. Praise the Lord. There they are. Okay. So they pick out their stock. Goats, hogs, milk cow, rabbits, chickens. What? Yeah, that was their perception. They had no perception of the stock market, what you thought, where you would invest in Tesla and so on and so on. And we could name them all off here. Everybody's going, yeah, Tesla. Or whatever you invested in. Generac, those kind of things. Praise the Lord. Apple, whatever. Okay, so they had a totally different perception. That's the point I'm trying to make here. They knew what they knew. Now, their filters and sense knowledge led them somewhere else. It's exactly what Larry said. It's what they knew. It was their filters. So it's important for us to clean our filters out when it comes to the kingdom of God realm so that we can operate in the supernatural and not just on an earthly level. And there's certain things that we can do to accomplish that very thing. So the disciples used their sense knowledge to get perception. They just had seen some great miracles, and yet they judged with their eyes and with their ears and got to thinking about bread again. Interesting. They looked at what they didn't have right then instead of what he was able to do at any time.
Oh, that's good.
Right then they didn't have bread, but he just said to them, guys, I just fed thousands of people twice. Yet you're focusing on the next thing back in the earthly area. So see, you know, you can get a miracle today, and if you don't watch out, tomorrow you'll be reasoning again. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God. So, we don't want to do that. They couldn't see. It was as if it's kind of like the miracles had never happened. How quickly we can forget how he brought us through the last thing. And then here we are at the next thing. But he's brought us through every time. Amen. Amen. He's proved himself over and over, yet somehow we fall in, we fail to understand that he's going to be there tomorrow too. He's going to be there for us. But why is that we do that? Well, there's several reasons, and I'll tell you three of them. One of them, we have an enemy who's opposed to your receiving. He doesn't want you receiving, so he spends time working on your carnal reasoning. And he will suggest to you, you won't make it this time. Hath God said? See, that's what he did to Adam. Let's reason this out. But the reasoning was wrong. And then the second thing is, as much as we love them, miracles do not produce faith. Only the promises of God produce faith. When you feed yourself on the promises, your faith rises. Miracles will come and miracles will go. They're faith extenders. They help you. You get excited about them. But really, it's the promise, the God food going inside your spirit that will change what's going on with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the third thing in our Christian walk, we each have many opportunities to perceive certain truths, and we may perceive those truths correctly, but then they're laying on top of something in our lives that we did not perceive correctly. Does that make sense to y'all? You're having these good things happen, but your foundation wasn't set up quite right, so you get a topple sometimes, or it doesn't quite come through like you want it to because you didn't get the basic stuff right. And so those would be three good reasons that we would have to go back and work things out. So, well, let me just give you a for instance. This will be real easy for you. You all will get this easy. Well, are we called to walk in love? Okay. But if you were raised legalistically, your perception may be that you yourself, out of the power of your own soul, that you must love or you risk being in a lot of trouble with God. Okay, see, so the love part's right, but how you're getting there's wrong. Wrong foundation. If you're raised with the perception of grace, you know that first he loves you, and then the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and we're empowered to love by the forces known as the fruits of the Spirit. And so that would work for us, and that would be a good perception. You see where I'm going with this? Now, religious people always are trying to earn their victory. We have the victory. It's already ours, okay? So, and then there's the perception, one more, another type of person would be, they know the Lord wants them to walk in love, but since they're under grace, it doesn't really, they don't really have to do it, and there won't be any consequences, and I'm under grace, so it won't hurt anyone else, and of course, that's a total lie. Because it does hurt other people. God tells us to love, but then he does provide the grace that empowers us to do it. But you can't get the cart before the horse. I almost said it backwards. You've got to know that God loves you. That's what's going to make a difference for you. When you know he loves you and the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you, you sense that movement about the love of God, that compassion, that hesed of God, and it's easier for you to reach out and love other people. It's easier for you to make the right decisions concerning other people. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So can I ask you a question? Do you believe that God expects and requires certain things of you? He does. He does. But he empowers you to do it. So if he asks you to do something, he's going to give you the grace to do it. I lived in San Marcos for 40 years. And right before I left San Marcos, I lived in Chicago. He gave me the grace to go live in the city. And there's no hiding there. You're in the city. And so, but that prepared me to move away from something I was familiar with all my life. And so the grace was there and very easy for me to move further out in the country. Yeah, buddy, that was an easy thing. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jesus. So, he expects things from us, and I'll just say it like this. This will make it simple. He's a rewarder of those that seek him. He just expects you to be his friend. He expects you to be his child. You're his child, but be in relationship with him, be his friend. That's what he wants more than anything. Amen.
Amen.
It's not a hard thing, but you just got to have the right perception. Now, I want to bring the correct perception of something that's especially important here. There are two gates, not four, two. There's the five senses. That's the information gate. You take in the world around you, and then your soul determines what to do with information. Then there's the gate of heaven. And I don't mean pearly gates, which, by the way, they're open and have been since Jesus paid the price. No, there's another gate, and that gate is in you. And there's a gate. The kids are having fun. There's a gate which lets heaven pass through. The Holy Spirit, the shed abroad part. God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that gate allows the kingdom of heaven to come into you and pass through you. We've been talking about this recently. So then your soul determines what to do based on revelation. See, Adam didn't live by information. He lived by revelation. He just downloaded whatever God had, and he lived on a higher level. His mind, we have no idea how cool it was to think like Adam. I mean, he could just think like God. He just downloaded it all. We're further from that, way further from that, but it is available.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is available just because, you know, death has proceeded to do things in the earth on a bigger scale, but Holy Spirit is able to deliver revelation to you, and you're totally capable of opening that gate and doing something with revelation as opposed to just information. It's not that information is bad, but it's what are you going to do with it? I like to say this, truth and fact. Something's a fact, that's information. But there's something that's the truth,
that's right.
And that's revelation, and it always supersedes the fact.
That's right.
Amen. So there, we always say there are good ideas and there are God ideas. That's as simple as it is. So gates are simple, but they're interesting. And they're a part of our daily lives. Some of us have a gate going out to the sidewalk where things become public. Some of us have a gate at on our property. Today, someone was sitting at our gate. That's why we have one. Art and Amanda pulled in there and asked, "Who are y'all?" Praise the Lord. I don't know. They like to pick our gate. It just must be that draw. They'll sit there and do whatever they're doing. But so that the gate can, what can it do? Let something in? And let something out, that's what it does, okay? So gates can be very good. Now, it's a transition place from, I'm going to say it like this, this is better, from one realm to another.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about your backyard. So you've got that pretty tall fence, but you got to go through something to get to your backyard. And it's a whole different realm in your backyard. You got a little paradise back there and everything. And so it's different than it is out on the street. Jessie lives in Dallas, so it's busy. But it's her backyard is peaceful and green and pretty and big trees. See, but that gate changed it. So that gate can be a transition to a new place. I just want you to think about that for just a minute. Transition. Now, I don't think that we know the magnitude of what we're doing or the impact that we're really having. Because I think we get into that information world a little bit too much It is helpful to understand that our obedience always releases his world into this one in a way that is more substantial than we think possible, of course. Okay? But I don't think we really know the magnitude of how much effect we probably are having. I mentioned this on thermostats today. Your prayers are very weighty. Especially, don't mean anything against any other Christians, but the people that understand the believer's authority. It's a revelation. It's very weighty. The things that you're saying and declaring, they're weighty. And you're literally changing things or impressing someone or having an effect on someone. And you may not even realize just how much of an effect you have on someone. Does that make sense to y'all? I'm not going too far with this, am I? Because if you are, I'll just preach to myself and y'all can... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. This is something I want to get to. And I'm just going to say this in one piece and I'll go on, but I'll let you think about this. God revealed so much to the prophets. But it wasn't just through prophetic words. It was through their experiences. Okay, so you got it that easy. So I think it was written in the hearts of the prophets as well as the average person that there was more. There's so much more than ever considered possible. I think there's so much more that we need to be considering in these days. Well, you know, we're having some revivals around the world, and praise the Lord, and that's really good. You don't understand. This world will be impacted like never before. Yeah. People are asking, since the plague, they're saying, will things ever be the same again? No, they're going to be far greater. Far greater. Amen. There's going to be more. The healings that are manifesting right now. We need to get some of y'all up here for the testimonies. Claudia's back was healed and just did the different testimonies. How about Art's word, the offering word, his testimony about good measure? Wow. I mean, I just think about how all these things are happening, then hearing all of LaDonna's stories and Dee was just telling me some things going on in her ministry. All these things, and you look at Mario Murillo and you see what's going on with the Copeland's ministries and all these other things that are just happening and how the Christians are all just getting together and we're blending and moving forward and standing up for truth and praise God, it's changing the world. And it's because of revelation, not just information. Right. We're not just waving some signs because of something we think is right. We're pulling from God what he wants. Yeah. Yeah, I know there's stuff mixed in there. But it's getting clearer and clearer and clearer to every Christian and the people in this earth. Mm-hmm. Truth will prevail. I promise you that. It will. And the truth is this. God loves people. Yeah. He loves people. He loves Republicans and Democrats and whatever else they have out there. He loves all people. And God has a way that he lives. And we are his children. And he has built certain ways and standards that we flow from. And we'll see them manifest. Amen. Now, I want to show you this. Lord, thank you. There's much, much more. And we have to understand that it is our nature to crave and dream and have desire. There's nothing wrong with that, church. You should have this nature where you want to move forward. You want to be, there's nothing wrong with you wanting to be successful. You should want to be successful. You can't crave for something sweet if sweet doesn't exist. It exists. It belongs to you. So I think that if we see and we watch, we're going to see God pouring out on the hungry. You're going to see God pouring out on the hungry. And then people will, as the hungrier we get, other people will begin to get hungry. It's just the truth. I was thinking of who told me. You know, there's prophecies about fire trucks showing up because church roofs look like they're on fire and the Holy Spirit's moving. Remember the light on Jerry Savelle when he'd walk through places and people were drawn to him and things like that. And that's happened a lot. And was it LaDonna who said she went to the church where the... Yeah, she actually went to a church where the fire engine showed up. Isn't that amazing? And they said, we thought your church was on fire. What's going on? That's the realm.
Yeah.
That's the realm of God. That's the kingdom of God showing up in the glory of God. And this is not going to slow down.
Amen.
It's not going to. You're like, well, you know, we'll get over our little troubles and we'll all go back to being quiet. And it'll never go back. It's never going to. God is going to move in this earth like never before. Amen. I gotta get rolling on this. Jesus spoke to his disciples in a very strange way. He said this. Now listen to this wording. You'll have to pick it up, so stay with me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now you would think that he would be saying, if it were so, I would tell you. Or, because it is so, I told you. Walk with me.
Yeah.
Walk with me here. Not, if it were not so, I would have told you. Why? What's he doing? Why did he say it that way? Why was his approach so opposite to our thinking? Because he had no need to promise them that something, he had no need to promise them what they had an inner awareness of. They already were aware of heaven.
Yeah.
So he's saying, do you get it? Yeah. See, they already knew, just like you already know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you already know.
Mm-hmm.
You already know this. You already know about Revelation. You already know that God exists. And that he's the light and the life that is functioning on the inside of you. You already know this. He's speaking to an assumed awareness of heavenly realms that exist in the heart of every person. People believe in heaven that haven't even read the Bible. Wonder why. It's in there. It's in there. Babies are fresh from heaven. You can just tell when you're around them. They're just, you're like, not mine. That kid's a little stinker. No, no. When they first got there, they were good. I'm kidding. They, you can sense it on a baby. You can sense things on babies.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Y'all are looking at me like, yeah. Praise the Lord. But this heavenly realm, we're aware of it. He's acknowledging that reality to them.
Yeah.
He's letting them know, yeah, you got it right. His job would be that he's going to tell them, that he would tell them that their inner awareness, their inner dream, was not true, no basis in reality, if it weren't so.
Right.
He'd have to say, you know what you're feeling? That isn't right. But he didn't. He said, what you have on the inside is real. Your desires, your dreams of success, your dreams of whatever God's planted on the inside of you came from God. Well, I don't know. My dream's really lofty. God is lofty. Church, I know we're talking about, listen to me, I know we're talking about the natural and the supernatural, but I need you to know one thing as we're talking about this. God loves your natural as much as he loves the supernatural. But he wants to use the supernatural on your natural because he does love it so much. He loves your body as much as he loves your spirit. We're like, well, you know, we'll be done with this. Actually, you won't. Your body's going to go one day with him. You'll be glorified. Yeah. So we don't need to separate out our dreams like, oh, I have these dreams, but God probably really doesn't want. God probably really, no, he does. Yeah, he does. I wanted a horse when I was 10 years old. I got a witness to hear that. Yep. Man, I wanted a horse so bad. Just wanted a horse, and I'd go out in the front yard and stand under the pear tree and pray, God, if I could just have a horse. I wasn't a faith person then, so I just prayed silly prayers. But you know God honored that. One day I was sitting in the living room of our house, and I heard clunkety clunk, 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 clunk. And I opened the door, and my brother had a little colt this big standing on our front porch. Wow. Pumpkin came home. And then his mama was with him. And then it was just a couple of years later that actually my boyfriend gave me a horse, Buster. And I rode him for years. And then I had another horse. I won't tell you how I obtained that horse. Because this is... Okay, so I won him in a bet. He was a thoroughbred. But, I mean, God blessed me with horses. I always had horses around me all the time. And to this day, I love horses. My thought is the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a girl. I just think horses, they're just so good, are they? They're just so great. But God stirred that dream up in me when I was little, Debbie. He wanted that. There's dreams on the inside of you that they are actually coming from the right perception. You're perceiving that this is who you ought to be. This is what you want to be. Don't just discount that. Just let God lead you through all the perceptions. Get rid of the wrong filters. Well, I want to be a multimillionaire. Fine. Do it. Yeah, but, nuh-uh. Money's just an amplifier. It's just a tool. Use it for the kingdom of God. You're in.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. Be what God called you to be. This is not my sermon, but I guess that's what it turned into. You see where I'm going with this, though? Every believer has an open heaven. For the believer, most closed heavens are just between their ears. Living as if the heavens are brass over us actually just plays right into the devil's hands. Plays right into a defensive posture. Listen, we shouldn't be fighting the enemy every day of our lives. Oh, if we could just. Jesus put us on the offensive side. You know how he did that? But with the Great Commission, he said, go. We're on the offensive side. We're not on the, if we can make it through another day, bless God. If we can just hold out for another day. If we can get this down and get that down and then move through this. And you know, sometimes things need to be fixed. We had 5 hours of tree moving, which mostly I watched and all these wonderful people who work for the church got it down. But I'm telling you, it was tough. I was in there praying. I must ask John, 15 or 20 times, John, are you okay? Johnny, I knew it was hard work. So things, sometimes you just got to go back and fix things. But we don't need to spend our life on that all the time. And one of the ways we're going to stop doing it is to get rid of speculative imagination. Where you spend your time imagining what scenario fit the person who didn't do what you wanted them to do, or this or that, or why did they do this and why did they do that, and blam, 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 and you spin it and spin it and spin it, and you wasted your whole day, and you put out words that were a total waste. And that was good preaching right there. And guess what? We've all done it. But it's a waste. It's an absolute waste. I think about you, Jess, a lot. I think about Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. Jesse goes to the college of her choice. And Jesse did. And Jesse had a full scholarship. And Jesse said it every day, and I believe my knowledge is right. You do that with your own children. So when they get in the car and go to school, Jesse does what Deb did with her. Now, they could, I just felt the Holy Ghost on that. They could get in the car and say, well, I hope you make it to school. Mama don't have the money, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but somehow we'll work it out, and maybe you can No. They stayed on the plan, and they didn't get off into speculative imaginations. And now the same will be for your children. They'll go to the well, they'll probably be Aggies, because, you know. Jesse's actually a Longhorn, but he's an Aggie, so don't get too close.
Okay,
but, yeah, she's married to an Aggie. But the truth here is, it's your choice right now, church, which way you're going to go. Which way you're going to go. I want to say something to you real strong right now. If you complain, you'll remain. 10 years from now, you'll still be at the same place, and the rest of us will have moved to higher places, and you'll still hate what you do, and you'll still be complaining about it. The only way you're going to get out is to shut that complaining up. Okay, that was the mama whipping of the day. Now let's finish. We'll finish right here. So the devil just wants you to try to figure everything out with the five senses. When all you really have to do is ask the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? You know, this works. Don't tell John, but this works with him all the time. He's sitting here, listen. He'll be trying to work on something, and he's thinking about it. And I'll walk out in back of him, and I'll go, all right, Lord, tell him how we're going to do that. And he'll go, you know what? I got an idea. Yeah. And he picks it up, and he does it. I saw him change the way he was going today. I walked out there, and I went, And he went, wait a minute, y'all. Don't do this. We're going to go a different way. How many times do we just need to go ahead and listen to that and go a different way? Because, y'all, for me, I'm going to jump out there and go, guess what we're going to do? And the Lord will go, you are you? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Let's do it your way. And it always works out so much easier. See, we need revelation, not just information. We need revelation because God knows what's on the other side. He's already been to your future. And he knows what you need for the next thing. So if you'll follow his plan, you won't end up in a mess.
That's right.
He'll tell you, do this. Don't do that. Meet these people. Leave those people alone. Not you. Do this. I'll show you this. Nah, that's not a deal. He'll actually show you. I remember one time we were going to buy a vehicle, and we said, Lord, do you want us to buy this vehicle or walk away? And both of us heard, run! And we did. But then one time, the three of us were involved in that. It was an Ishmael. It sat in our driveway in Reedville, out there where we all, it sat in the driveway. We thought Jesse would like it, and then Jesse found her dream car. And we just could not get rid of that car. We shouldn't have bought it in the first place. It was through information instead of revelation. Just get some revelation. Just listen to God. He'll lead you. The Holy Spirit is full of great ideas. Amen. Mature believers can carry heaven's atmosphere in such a way that others are able to stand under their shade and receive protection like a big oak tree. You can be so powerful and so strong in the Spirit that everybody can get some shade around you. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Just remember this, church. Empowering a lie empowers a liar. You don't want to empower the liar. Tell him no. This is just our call in life. This is our commission to bring the kingdom into the earth. We have an open gate of revelation. And it's not just preachers. It's not just, what's your title? It's your work.
Oh, Vice President.
Vice President? Lord have mercy. She's like, I don't care. No, she just does what she loves. So, Vice President, Pastor, same calling. She's leading and helping people in her assignment. I'm leading and helping people in my assignment. She doesn't have to be a preacher to do it, although she is a good teacher of the word. But wherever you are, sis, whatever you're doing, whatever God has placed on you, you do that well, and you'll be preaching the gospel and bringing the kingdom in. And then along with that, you're going to see in this awakening these gifts coming on what you do well. Watch the miraculous come on what you're already doing well. Instead of trying to figure out that what you already do well, how you're going to work it through this world system, just go ahead and say, Lord, this is what I do. This is my assignment. Put some super on this natural. Amen. Right? Amen. Just put some super on this natural. Still play the bass? Put super on the bass. Right? That it's not just that you just do it with great ability, but with anointing. And I'm sure you do. I'm just using you as an example. And the business you're in, praise the Lord. That super on that natural. Whatever it is you do. I've heard Jordan play things on the guitar that just sends me to another place. There's an anointing on it just to go into places. The thermostats. What an assignment. What an assignment from God. We've actually seen things, have we, Rachel? We've seen things in the government change. And we're like, well, no. It's because we put the words out there. Just like they put the words, Jesse finds favor in the sight of God and man. It's going to be about what you say. Oh, are we back to that again? Might as well get used to it. Okay, let's close this thing up. Thank you, Jesus. We always reflect the nature of the world we are most aware of. Let me say that again. We always reflect the nature of the world we are most aware of. Living aware of open heavens has countless and vast results. Whenever God gives us a promise, it's because He's gone into our future and brought back the word necessary to get us there. If He promised you a house, He's already gone to the future. He's already got the house. All you got to do is get your faith force out and bam, you're going to connect with it. Whatever it is, kingdom is broken down into two words. King and Dom. King's domain. It's right to want heaven for our future, but I should want the rule of heaven here and now. It's God's responsibility to get me to heaven, but it's my responsibility to get heaven to here. Come on, church. That's the truth. That is just the truth. We're not just looking for heaven as a location. It's the realm that we should presently rule from. We have more effect than you know. But here's what's going to happen. Instead of you saying, in the name of Jesus, I declare, no. If you're, dang, I can't believe my client, blah. What you gonna get? Because you're the one holding the gate. Complain, you'll remain. And you don't need to be thinking about somebody else because we've all done it. Thank you, Jesus. You received this today? Thank you, Lord. Woo, God's good. God is good.